This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Established more than 20 years ago, the Malaysian Institute for Corporate Governance, or MICG, has been tasked with promoting, defining and encouraging the adoption of corporate governance standards here in Malaysia. Most recently, they've turned their attention to the country's more than 900,000 small and medium enterprises to encourage them to adopt good governance practices as well. And to talk to us more about this, on the show this morning, I have with me Roshni Jayanthilal, CEO of MICG. Roshni, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, good morning, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
So before we dive into the subject of SMEs, let's give our listeners a bit of a picture of MICG itself. So your organization is 23 years old this year, and encouraging good corporate governance standards adoption is your, of course, major remit. Now, I'm curious as to how many companies actually kind of come to you for guidance?
Well, we have various. First of all, we have our member base of close to 180. And then from time to time, we do get queries from people about, you know, inputs into certain areas that they might be curious about or that they want to explore. And it's not just corporate. So when MICG was formed, you know, the word corporate was there. But today, governance is beyond corporates. We also engage with SMEs. We engage with universities. And we do a lot of sub-engagements where we have MOUs with, you know, partners at Climate Governance Malaysia, the 30% Club Malaysia chapter, where we're encouraging and promoting broader understanding of governance and to make sure that they can go away and implement this within the organizations and use it when they join, you know, new organizations or they sit on boards.
Do you also make recommendations?
In some cases, yes, we do. Mm. When they come to us for specific advice. And I would also like to share that, you know, our institute, especially our president, he is representing the institute to sit on two special committees. One is the National Special Committee on Corporate Governance, NSCCG, which reports into the Special Cabinet Committee on Anti-Corruption. And the second one is the Corporate Governance Council, which is managed by the Securities Commission in Malaysia. So as part of these two committees, he actually, you know, gives input into what we see as an institute or where we want to see things heading as well for better governance in Malaysia.
So based on those recommendations that have been made, what kind of take-up has there been?
There's been very positive engagement, you know, especially with the feedback that we've shared with the National Financial Crime Center. You know, of course, we also work with the MECC, the Institute of Integrity Malaysia. And next week, we're making a courtesy call to the new head at the National Center for Governance Integrity and Anti-Corruption, that's Sri Salahuddin. So that itself, it shows that, you know, MICG is recognized as the institute in Malaysia to help promote good governance. I'm not going to use the word corporate, but good, strong governance across in Malaysia. When you have a lot of keyboard warriors out there who, you know, misrepresent or write badly about Malaysian governance, we get very dejected in some cases, and we try to understand why are they not seeing the perspective of what we are doing here. So MICG as itself is very unique because we are independent. Independence in the sense that, yes, while we were created by the government, today we operate as a company limited by guarantee under the purview of the Companies Commission of Malaysia. So here, it gives us an opportunity to work with so many sectors. And the most encouraging thing these days is hearing from the universities. Universities tell us that their faculty and their staff, as well as, you know, their students, want to know more about good governance. And there's a lovely Malay proverb which says "Melento bulo biala daripada rebongnya," which means if you want to start educating, start at ground level.
So you touched on an interesting point there, Roshni, which is public trust in the system. public trust is something that has been highlighted in the National Anti-Corruption Plan, the lack thereof posing a major hurdle for enforcement bodies, for regulators to deal with. But I want also to get your input as an organization that has been regularly engaging with regulators and those bodies which do have enforcement capabilities. Are they doing enough? Are they moving fast enough to address kind of governance issues and challenges that we have here in Malaysia?
So hats off to them. In fact, they understand where we need to head. And in our last visit to EPU, Dato' Mustafa himself said that, you know, he would like more work and engagement to be done for, you know, state-owned enterprises. And how can MICG help in this area? And that's a key thing that we need to look at as well. So the government as well as the public sector understand, and they want to ensure that there's, you know, adequate governance standards and make sure there's, you know, proper codes of ethics out there for the statutory bodies, the non-listed GLCs, as well as the government investment companies, to ensure that we have a better governance ecosystem as such, that you could say. And the one thing that MICG has already proposed to the government is to ensure that, you know, we can have a Malaysian code of governance for the SOEs and definitely a specific code of conduct for them. So this is an area that we're hoping that we can explore a little bit more. And since the government shares the same interests, let's see. It's positive. It's definitely looking positive.
I guess then the question would be, why hasn't, you know, a code of conduct or a code of governance been put in place before this? Because, I mean, MICG itself, you know, you've been around for over two decades. So why is this a conversation that's only happening now?
So that's going to be a little bit challenging for me to answer itself, because the government has been doing other things. In terms of the private sector, they already have a code as such. They have the Malaysian Code of, you know, Corporate Governance, MCCG, which was actually introduced in 2000. And to be honest, that code was started early, yes, but it's not just for the public listed companies. The code also does make reference that it's good for, you know, SMEs and other entities to take up the positive governance aspects that it has recommended, the key features of it. So why is it happening today? Well, governance evolves. There is no stop date to when governance starts and finishes. It evolves based on, you know, the changing climate that we have, the different business requirements, the change in our regulatory system as well. So it's a positive step that we're heading.
Let's also take a look at the subject of SMEs, which I know is a focus as well for MICG going forward. And understandably, because SMEs make up 98% of the businesses here in Malaysia, and yet a lot of our conversations surrounding good governance mainly focuses on GLCs, you know, large, sometimes multi-million dollar outfits. What is your gauge of the level of governance, risk management, compliance fundamentals of SMEs, particularly here in Malaysia?
In terms of SMEs, because, you know, they range from the very micro to the very bigger SMEs, it really varies. The bigger SMEs are a little bit more ahead of this, where they have got, you know, either a governance team or somebody looking across risk management, internal controls. When it comes to the mid-tier SMEs, I think there's definitely a lot more work that needs to be done. So we're organizing our, you know, virtual forum on the 20th of May. It is a free forum, and we encourage people to sign up because seats are limited. And the reason we started to organize this forum is because, you know, governance in SMEs is key. And we have a team that we are running that SMEs are a key strategic business partner in the supply chain. We recognize that. But SMEs are also trying to understand that, you know, how can they find a bigger role in terms of this whole ecosystem, but with good governance. Because on one side, the MNCs tell us that, you know, they have got a whole set of policies that have come from corporate and they're trying to implement this with their supply chain. Why isn't the local SMEs understanding about governance, you know, at a higher level? It's always going to be you know, a little bit of a challenge initially trying to introduce anything new, but there's a lot of positive things at the back of it, you know, once they get up and running with a good governance structure in place and making sure that it's not diluted within the organizations. So the thing is, Lynn, in the, across many organizations, sometimes governance is taken to be sitting under legal, or when they get a little bit confused, they might put it under HR because they think it's a human thing. Yes, there's a lot of human interaction behind it, but governance cuts across a wider framework. You're talking about, you know, risk management that you pointed out. You're talking about internal controls. And we also have our friends in the audit teams, internal audit teams, that provide some form of governance assurance.
I'm speaking with Roshni Jayantilal, CEO of the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance. Up next, good governance versus financial survivability. Is it a zero-sum game? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Roshni Jayantilal, CEO of the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance, or MICG. So Roshni, earlier we were talking about the challenge of helping SMEs understand and implement good governance practices. But for SMEs on the smaller side, which might be more cost conscious, I mean, there is the perception that implementing governance practices is just another avenue of spending and doesn't necessarily represent a material return on their investment. How do you go about showing them that good governance is also in their best interest?
Okay. So the one thing that we're trying to encourage SMEs is in their growth, their path to grow, is that, you know, governance doesn't mean it's going to cost you a lot. Of course, in every business, they all understand the fundamentals of the initial investment that needs to go in. But the courses that we provide at MICG, in fact, many of the programs that we run, they're not at exorbitant costs. You know, we keep them at a minimum level to ensure that we can draw in the right participants, try to understand where you need to start, what you need to do. And if you're a small organization, if you want to implement good governance and you just don't know how to start, talk to us. We'll put you in touch with the right people. So this also goes across, you know, Lynn, at not only just the SMEs, also the PLCs and some of the MNCs. I've had many MNCs tell me that we've already got good governance because it's come from, you know, corporate overseas. So we know what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And then we have the local PLCs, you know, board members, management, who tell us that we also know what we're doing. So they're not directly a member today of MICG. We need board members to start realizing it's leadership in action that counts.
But then when it comes to really getting SMEs to walk the talk, so Malaysian SMEs have a code that they're advised to follow called the Rukun Niaga, so effectively a code of ethics similar to the Malaysian Code on Corporate Governance. There has been a shift in the code to make it more SME friendly. So, for example, the shift from, you know, the comply and explain model to an apply or explain an alternative model to help SMEs who aren't familiar with governance practices get up to speed. But, you know, so far we've been talking about the carrot in the carrot and the stick equation. Is there more enforcement that needs to be done on SMEs in order to encourage those who are on the fence to take that leap and actually implement governance, good governance practices?
If it's necessary, then definitely I would support that as well. So the important thing is, like, while, you know, we had SE and Bursa promoting good governance at PLCs and also across to SMEs. So something that needs to be explored today is, what more can we do for SMEs? Not so much the stick, but just to ensure and to encourage them to take up, you know, the spirit of good governance, implementing that for the longer run. Because remember, the focus has to be today you're an SME, you're possibly going to be a PLC tomorrow. And we have programs in Malaysia that are already doing that, where they're encouraging SMEs, holding their hands, you know, from where they are today to IPO listing. So governance is forming a topic in many of them already in these programs that they run.
Mm. What kind of enforcement do you see as being viable without necessarily impeding efforts to get SMEs to buy into that and on a more willing basis?
Well, and one thing I could probably think about right now is similar to how our PLCs have it in their annual reports. Get the SMEs, you know, change their mindset and encourage them to report willingly at upfront first about what have they done to ensure good governance in their companies as part of their submissions of their financial statements at the end of the year. So the one thing today is many of these smaller companies as well as, you know, PLCs, SMEs. Everybody is focused on, you know, meeting KPIs, meeting business targets. They approach us, they ask us, is there an award for this? You know, if we come up, we sign. And we say, well, at MICG, we're not giving out awards, you know, randomly just like that. Because there's a lot of work that you need to show us if you want to stand up for an award. In fact, even companies or, you know, any of these associations giving out awards, they say that they've audited, you know, SMEs. The SMEs are meeting all these different milestones and they deserve an award. But at the end of the day, you need to ask yourself, does governance only mean you want to do, you know, introduce good governance in your companies if it comes with an award, a title? Not necessary. That should be the basic fundamentals in any organization. When you start a business, you want to make sure that you keep growing. You want to see, you know, your company prosper. You want to see your employees grow with your company. So that's why you need to have good governance.
So now let's also just quickly touch as well on the subject of COVID-19, Roshni, because how would you say that COVID-19 has affected companies' ability to have good governance standards? I mean, we've heard complaints about virtual AGMs, for example, potentially sidelining minority shareholders. What's your take on this?
So the virtual AGMs, I mean, given that COVID was an unprecedented, you know, the black swan, as they called it, none of us were going to be prepared for it. But I think the regulators have taken amazing steps to ensure that, you know, companies still continue with all their, you know, governance requirements that they need to meet. So on that front, that has been encouraging. We've also seen in our friends at MSWG out there supporting and asking questions during this virtual AGMs for the minority shareholders. And for us as well at MICG, we also do our virtual AGMs, and we've got one coming up next week.
But do you think that during the MCO and the CMCO periods that there's been a general increase or a decrease in adherence to good governance matters amongst amongst companies?
It's very hard to put, you know, an indicator on that one. But as far as I understand, companies have taken every step to make sure that they comply. So they haven't dropped the ball on that. And that's fantastic. That's good to know. The one thing is, you know, governance is very broad ranging. You're talking about the audits, the risk management work that needs to be done, the review of internal controls. So it's amazing for teams out there to still keep doing this remotely, and I salute them for doing that. That would have been a challenge, but everyone out there knows that, you know, they've got a business to run. They've got to make sure that it's running on the good fundamentals of strong governance. So we haven't seen any reports of such of that happening just yet. We know that a lot of the bigger PLCs have been keeping it up and going. They have been promoting that. I mean, they've got, you know, a lot of them have got AGMs running now that it's coming up to the 6 months time frame as well when they've got to do AGMs.
I'm also curious what your thoughts are on the fact that during COVID-19, I mean, the stock market was a hive of activity during the period. Some have called it almost a de facto casino. And we saw a number of unusual market activity queries being issued. Is this something that concerns MICG from a governance point of view?
Anytime there's an issue on governance, it will obviously concern MICG. But in terms of who are those looking at it, so there were some recently in the news. And as far as MICG understands, the regulators themselves have already come up very fast, very quick to say that they're looking at that and they're addressing that.
But there were also claims that companies made statements like announcing MOUs, for example, or conducting corporate actions to push up their prices during this period, things like buybacks. So, you know, in addition to what the regulators are doing to crack down on these kinds of activities, does MICG have a role in that conversation?
At present today, no. We've not been asked for our inputs, but obviously as part of good governance, those companies and the regulators know that. So it's good that the regulators themselves have, you know, fallen back on their listing requirements, the MCCG code, which, you know, the MCCG code has MICG's inputs from day one. So in a way, I would say in our world, it's already in there. That's why I say it coming back to the fundamentals of leadership in action, governance in action. leaders have to stand up and they have to commit to good governance. It's not just talking about it, you know, at the company's AGM, reassuring your shareholders and walking away. Many of these people, they stop. They need to take good governance beyond that. Make sure that, you know, it's not just the board members who are getting trained. Ensure that your management team, the next level down, your staff know about good governance. And we have had many companies out there have gone beyond just training their board members, making sure that the boxes are ticked on that front. You know, standing up, asking, why aren't our team or our staff not knowing about certain issues? It's not just good having a lovely website, you know, a lovely annual report where you have your statement of risk management, internal controls, governance, saying that we have fulfilled everything and we've ticked everything. They need to take one step back and start saying, what else do we need to do? What does our, you know, organization need to know about where are we falling short of? And we're waiting. We're waiting for PLCs for them to come and ask us that.
But there is the argument that in times of crisis, such as COVID-19, good governance principles, like gender diversity, for example, they're a nice to have, they're not a must have. So financial survivability trumps everything. What are your thoughts on that?
So, you know, using COVID as an excuse for a lot of things, you know, to set good governance, it's not good. We are strong supporters of, you know, gender diversity, diversity in any form, in fact. Yeah. And this is where companies need to understand where they are and what do they want to do to move forward. So consider good governance at all times, in fact. You know, that has to be in the top agenda for every single board meeting, not just their financials or meeting your targets. Understand where do you want your company to go and with good governance.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Roshni. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much, Lynn. It's been very good talking to you as well.
I'm speaking with Roshni Jayantilal, CEO of the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance. MICG's Governance in SMEs Forum will be held tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Do head over to micg.org.my to find out more. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.